This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome you to the Isnad Academy podcast. I'm very honored. Alhamdulillah, I have one of my teachers and close friend, also colleague, mashallah. Maulana Muhammad Kaur, and I think the community would be very familiar with Maulana. But before I give my formal introduction, let us bring on board Maulana Muhammad Kaur, bidhnillahi ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, good. And I'm very chuffed to be here. And this is an entirely new experience for me.
MashaAllah.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So I'm kind of enjoying it. It feels kind of funny with all this like state-of-the-art equipment around me.
Right.
So I'm feeling somewhat important sitting in this chair.
You are very important, Allah. You are very important, alhamdulillah.
No, that's not true, but okay, that's just the feeling.
Okay, barakallahu feekum. Okay, Maulana, I just need to tell the viewers quickly. So Maulana Muhammad Kaur studied Hifz. He completed his Alim course. He studied upcountry as well as in Cape Town, where he finished at the Darul Uloom Al Arabiya Al Islamiyah in Strand, where I also graduated from, alhamdulillah. Maulana then immediately got into teaching. I mean, even while he was a student. And his first full-time teaching post was at Darul Na'im. I mean, is that correct, Maulana?
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And it was there that he was rather unfortunate and came across my path. And just to give you some insight as to who the personality is, right? So the first time I'm ever reading Arabic to Maulana Muhammad Kaur, we were reading Mustalah al-Hadith. Mustalah al-Hadith or Usul al-Fiqh? I think it was Mustalah at the time. And then I had to read. So I read the name of Ibn Hajar. But I don't know Ibn Hajar yet. It's the first time I ever come across his name. So I read Ibn Hijr. And Maulana called me Ibn Hijr from that moment on. Now Ibn Hajar, Ibn Hijr means the son of the stone, right? Yeah. So if you don't say Ibn Hajar, technically Ibn Hajar also comes from that, from that ma'ana. Yeah. But Hijr is exclusively a stone, right? And of course, Maulana had a good laugh at that. But alhamdulillah, that didn't stop me from attaching myself to him. I then attended one-on-one classes with Maulana. You know, even when you weren't my full-time teacher, I still used to come once a week, have your mother's beautiful snook, mashallah. And excuse me, and then that continued for some years. I think we lost touch after I got married and it went on my own way. But alhamdulillah, we've built quite a relationship up in recent times, and I'm very, very happy about that, alhamdulillah. But now, Maulana, tell us your other, since that time, you know, what were your other endeavors and what have you been getting up to in the community? Only the good stuff, Maulana. This is children watching.
Normally, when people ask me that question, I say, trying to keep buzzing out of mischief.
Right, right.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. We have this, we have a Quran program.
Okay.
It's a very nice program, alhamdulillah. Obviously, from the very outset, there's a lot of room for improvement. But alhamdulillah, we're getting there.
Right.
The program seeks to be unique in a particular way, in that other than just the mechanical memorization of the Holy Quran, we try to facilitate Arabic. So in terms that the learner is able to not only read the Quran, but read and understand the Quran, and ultimately, inshallah, practice upon the Quran. That's the idea. I think up until now, alhamdulillah, we've got the memorization part down to pat. The Arabic is ongoing, but a work in progress, walillah alhamd. And we hope that the environment that the learners find themselves in terms of the masjid, in terms of the teachers, that the teachers really be the exemplary role models for them.
Right, right.
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, so far so good.
MashaAllah, mashallah. But Maulana, you didn't tell us, so this organization, what is it called?
Okay, so this organization, the organization stumbled across, upon us, I think. It's called Nayo Youth Foundation.
Nayo Youth Foundation.
Yeah, Nayo means basically gift in Tswana.
Okay, mashallah.
we don't attach, you know, too much importance to the organization itself. And I think that's important.
Right.
On my way, I was thinking about one of our luminaries of late, Sheikh Abdul Wakil. He was Yale from Damascus. He was a jurist, like par excellence.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. One day, another luminary visited him and wanted a chain of transmission. From
right,
him.
Right.
And then he said...
And Isnad, by the way.
And Isnad.
Yeah. How can Walana not say, you come to Isnad Academy and you want to come translate Isnad?
No,
it's taking the wind out of my wings here.
They wanted an Isnad. Here we come and Allah gives us an Isnad.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. So they wanted an Isnad from him.
Right.
So, you know, he bowed his head and he started crying.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And he said, you know, all what we have will come to nothing, except that which is done only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar.
So that's like amazing, subhanAllah. So Ajib. The thing about like the organization, it's basically a vehicle by means of which hopefully that we can be sincere.
Ameen.
And please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen, ameen.
And it's always like a difficult space for me to be very honest, you know, in terms of, you know, telling your story and so forth. It reminds one very starkly about the importance of sincerity.
Mm, absolutely.
That's why Sheikh Abdul Wakil came to mind, because he said, look here, everything is going to come to nothing except that which is done only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, in terms of our portion of reading, we read a bit more than we normally do. So alhamdulillah, we were reading the 15th juz.
Right.
And in Surah Al-Kahf, something that we are quite familiar with, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عند ربك ثوابا وخير املا. You know, those good deeds that will remain, خير عند ربك, that is better by your Lord. وخير املا, you know, sometimes you make an investment and you basically set store by a particular investment. Look here, this is going to see me through my retirement years, by way of example.
Right.
So وخير املا, you know, the best type of investment that you can hope for in terms of returns would be our good deeds. So I'm just doing this to remind myself that, you know, the organization is basically just a vehicle by means of which we can serve Allah.
No.
Nothing more and nothing less. So, you know, please pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us sincerity.
I mean.
And makes this vehicle, like there are many other vehicles doing great work out there, particularly in the Quran sphere and all the other spheres that we may mention or may not mention tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of the efforts.
Ameen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this little vehicle that we have, may Allah grace it with ease. Mercy with his gaze and with his acceptance.
Ameen, Ya Rab, Ameen, yeah. Ameen. SubhanAllah, very important. Wallahi.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to work within the world that you are in, and the world works by these systems, you know,
yeah,
branding and all of these things.
No.
But it plays havoc with one's spirituality, because you can easily forget, you know, Musabibul Asbab. Like, this is just the means, and don't get caught up, and don't treat your deen like you would the corporate world, man. It's about competition, and it's about outdoing your competitors and things like that.
Subhanallah.
I think that's critically important, inshallah.
Absolutely.
So may Allah accept that from you, Maulana. Now, where did the concern come from for the youth? Like, I remember back in the day we had the My Ink camps that used to start, and Maulana got me involved in that as well. This is a very interesting time period. And, you know, I knew that time already that Malna was passionate about youth and working with youth. Where did that passion come from?
Hey. That's a difficult question. And that question also, they didn't give me it on the, what's the name, you know, like before you come, I'm going to ask you that question.
I'm laughing because those who know you, that, and for those who don't know you, rather, that's Maulana Muhammad Kaur for you right there.
Hey, that's a very good question, mind you. You know, you're talking about the youth, and I think I've been fortunate that people around me, particularly, they were passionate about youth.
No.
Alhamdulillah. You were talking about the early days of My Ink, and alhamdulillah, many of those youngsters are still around and still doing sterling work in terms of youth. So one of the, I think, the contributory factors was that I was always like sort of surrounded by youth, alhamdulillah, with a great passion to invest in youth. And I think the youth, we talk a lot about sort of like investing in the youth, but practically doing something to empower youth, I think that's altogether different story.
No.
I went on a trip recently. It was for, you know, in relation to an orphanage, which we, alhamdulillah, secured land and so forth.
Oh, mashallah.
So the idea was to go out and meet with another orphanage out in Nairobi.
Right.
So I met the, when we went there, it was locked down.
Right.
So we were sort of like limited to Nairobi. But the management team, they based in Nairobi. So I was, alhamdulillah, able to meet the directors of the orphanage and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much from them.
MashaAllah.
One of the things the brother was telling me in relation to your question about the youth now, so where this inspiration come from. And he was saying like a unique thing. He said that if you look at any given structure, a developmental structure, so then for him, the solution lies in the Khulafa ur-Rashidin.
Oh, really?
Al-Khulafa ur-Rashidun, the righteous khalifas.
Right.
So in other words, like if you're picking a board or, you know, you want to focus on certain areas, what do you focus on? So he looked at the personalities. So he looked at the four khalifs. So he says you have Abu Bakr. And for him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu presented like wisdom.
No.
And then you had Umar radiallahu anhu. He presented, you know, the strength required in terms of leadership. And then he spoke about Uthman al-Ghani. Uthman radiallahu anhu, amongst other things, amongst many of his very good qualities, he was a man of considerable wealth. So a person of wealth. And then you had Ali radiallahu anhu. And in terms of what he was explaining to me, Ali radiallahu anhu represented the youth.
Okay.
You know, like, so if you want, how can I say, that's like, so he says, if you look at our board.
I thought you would have said Hassan and Hussein though, you know? Sayyida Shababi Ahl al-Jannah. Interesting.
Well, not forgetting his illustrious the illustrious father.
Of course.
And I mean, he was at the time of his embracing Islam.
Yes, that's right.
He was the first youngster to accept Islam.
Absolutely.
And so forth. So, subhanAllah, Ali radiallahu anhu presents that youth in terms of the particular equation.
Right.
And if we want to focus on development, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear. And I think if we can create this type of synergy, there's a lot of synergies, I think, that we need to create within our communities. I think one is between, like, you know, the clergy and the lay people on the one hand.
Right.
One is between, you know, maybe professionals and clergy or non-professionals on the other hand. And another very important aspect that we need to look at in terms of synergy to take a community forward would be the young and the old. So the Prophet ﷺ, he, I think, encapsulated that very well. There's a narration that says, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. A person who doesn't, you know, show compassion to our youngsters and who doesn't respect the elders, you know, less, I mean, not from amongst us. So what do we draw from the in terms of principle? It's the wisdom of the elders. I can hear myself very clearly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, subhanAllah.
That's what it's meant for.
Like I'm listening to myself talking, I say, this sounds very clear.
I sound good. That's actually what you were thinking.
I wouldn't go that far. I would just say, look, I appear to sound rather clear to myself. It's because I have these earphones stuck in my ears. Subhanallah. That's like a novel experience, man. Subhanallah. Listening to yourself with such clarity. Subhanallah. If you don't have the like the wisdom of the elders and the when you have the wisdom of the elders and the strength and the fervor and the vigor of the youth, then we won't be able to progress. But when we join those two forces, then we will.
You're right.
And in a meaningful way. And then, you know, also you were talking about like the passion. So I can't like put like a finger to it. But one thing that stands out, and traveling is also very important, because Imam Shafi rahmanullah says, as-safaru madrasatun, you know, when you travel, traveling in and of itself is like a school. You learn so many things.
Did he really say so?
That's what I used to hear from our teachers. I haven't read it.
You know, people attribute everything to Imam Shafi'i these days. But it would be interesting because it's a beautiful expression, you know?
No, like, but it's a good thing you asked me now, because what happens is sometimes we hear things on the oral tradition.
Yeah,
but when you ask, you can't quote the oral tradition. Yes. You have to verify it.
Of course, yeah.
So inshallah, we'll verify that within this one. The principle, however, is valid.
Yeah, of course.
In a sense that traveling is an educational experience in and of itself. Where I traveled some years ago to Palestine.
Oh, mashallah.
So, like everybody else, you can...
Was this for the itikaf?
No, not for the itikaf.
Okay.
Not for the itikaf. I was in stealth mode.
Okay.
So, you can't ask me about that now. So... not like in stealth dangerous mode, in stealth neutral mode.
Yeah, sure.
Stealth neutral.
Yeah.
So what happened was we were waylaid by the border.
Right.
So now what happened was, subhanAllah, what I noticed is that there were only youngsters on the border post, manning the border post. And it wasn't like like there was a youngster and they were basically just like the front and they were being managed by some senior. Obviously, there was a senior in the background. But these youngsters, they were fulfilling those roles. So I thought to myself, why? Why this this type of empowerment in this particular area? Because it's empowerment. What would happen is if all the, my mind told me that if all the elders were there, then what would happen is that that generation would pass. That those ideas wouldn't be passed from the previous generation to the successive generation. And then what happens is the youngster will come, but why are we having a problem with our fellow Palestinians? We shouldn't be having a problem. But now the fact that they are sort of like empowered in this particular way is, leads to the, what's the name? The continuity of a particular thought or ideas, ideology and so forth. And therefore you look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, particularly in his last Hajj, what happened? He was, the Prophet was surrounded by youngsters. And what happens when with youngsters? It is because the Prophet ﷺ knows that this way of life is being given the responsibility. It must be passed down to posterity. So what happens is we are on our way out, but this needs to be handed over to the next generation, which is the youth, which is really the current generation. So if we're going to exclude youngsters from you know from our initiatives, then what's going to happen is it's going to lead to the untimely demise of our living Islam. That's the reality of the issue. So it's like essential. And we find that, you know, like other minorities are doing very, creeds and are doing it very effectively. We should also be really focusing on that. And ultimately, our example is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he set the precedent for us in terms of our community work. We should definitely be focusing on the youngsters. And the farewell Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a very clear example in terms of who we were surrounded by. Fadl Ibn Abbas was riding in, what do they call that if you ride a bike and the guy's at the back of you? Like I always forget, in pinion?
In tandem. In tandem?
No, man.
That's what they call it when you do parachuting.
When you parachuting, guys.
So I assume that that it's the same.
It's like a funky word, man. Like, you know, like a really cool word that they use for riding in pillion or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Well, it will only be you, Manana, to know that.
No, but I can guarantee you that I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. But it's directionally correct. Well, somewhere there.
There's nothing new about that either.
It's somewhere there. So for the...
Do you know Sister Mariam Sambo, Manana? She says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, mashallah, Mala Muhammad is one of the main reasons as to why I'm passionate about helping the youth, may Allah accept his efforts.
Ameen, Rabbal Alameen. Those are the good thoughts that people have. May Allah increase their good thoughts.
Ameen.
And when they have a good thought, we should say Ameen to that. So the youth was central to the mission of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Alayhi salatu wasalam.
Hajjatul Wada, Ibn Abbas was riding behind the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Pillion, that word basically. And then we find who narrates from him the most. Ibn Umar.
Somebody's telling us Samir Ismail. He says Pillion.
Pillion.
Muhammad Ismail says Peloton.
Peloton, subhanAllah.
That's but two very different words. So Samir said
what is we'll go with, I know Samir will go with him. What does he say? No, I love the other brother as well also. So Pillion and we go so Fi Qawlan. There are two views. The one view is Pillion and the other one view Peloton. Okay, Habib, you go with Peloton. I'll go with Pillion.
I'll just ride my own horse.
Okay, bismillah. Bismillah. So yeah, subhanAllah, that was the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was surrounded by youth.
Right.
By youth. And the Anas ibn Malik narrates quite a few of the narrations. Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar. And one of the starkest examples, Sayyidi, was that... And it brings to mind also why the Prophet ﷺ would do certain things. If you look at it, like some certain things, he did only because he was thinking forward.
No.
Like one narration that always like occupies my mind, and I find it like absolutely amazing, that the Prophet ﷺ says that even if you find yourselves on the bank of the river, then use water sparingly.
No.
So if I think what could possibly be the reason, I mean right there, right now, what's happening? There's over enough water. So why should I use just what I require?
Right.
So obviously, apparently, you mustn't waste a certain other. But the hikmah, the wisdom for me would be that the Prophet ﷺ is not thinking about the now. Mm. He's keeping successive generations in mind.
Oh, subhanAllah.
So in other words, use the water sparingly, because the water is given to you as an amana, not by those who came before you,
right,
but by those who will come after you.
Right.
So use it sparingly so that they can also get a chance to use the water at a later stage.
SubhanAllah.
So like that, if I use that example I jump to the example I want to use again about the youth. And the Prophet ﷺ focusing on the youth, why? With the idea of the successive generations, that this must be passed down to posterity.
Mm.
So, you know the example of, in terms of, I haven't read it for a while, before the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And we know by that time, then just about the entire Arabian Peninsula had come under the control of Islam.
Right.
Alhamd. It had now become the bedrock of Islam.
Mm.
But the outskirts, and the immediate threat basically would be from the Roman Empire.
Mm.
And the Roman Empire, I think they had these vassal-like empires, like the Hassanids, on the border of the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet ﷺ had prepared an army.
Mm.
And there were many senior companions, but the Prophet ﷺ, the leader of the army, was a youngster.
Mm.
The Prophet ﷺ, like an example of the water, thinking about future generations. Yeah, he wasn't thinking of the now. Now, arguably, there could be more able companions in terms of seniority, in terms of knowledge, in terms of expertise.
Yes.
But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was thinking in terms of the future. Look here, we need to prepare future generation.
Ajib. So, Malana, if I may, this particular incident that Malana is referring to, I've been speaking to quite a few people about it in the last couple of days.
Oh, mashallah.
This exact incident, because for me, it's so ajib, like that. It was 1400 years ago.
Oh.
So you'd expect that around the world, when they are Muslims, they will have youth among the leadership.
Mm.
But you actually don't find that much.
Mm.
In Islamic organizations, you will hardly find a person under the age of, say, 40 at the leadership of the organization.
Mm.
And I think that's rather sad. Mm. Across the board, I think it's rather sad, because the Prophet system is obviously guiding us and steering us into that direction. And if that was to set the precedent for posterity, man, then where's that now?
Mm.
And I love the fact that Malana's invested so much into the youth specifically, continuing with My Inc. Under the Nay Youth Foundation, continuing with the study of the Quran, where it's like by youth and for youth, and then your Awwal Academy, which I think is very inspiring, and we haven't even touched on that yet.
Mm.
But that narration, of Usama ibn Zayd leading that army. Mm. I believe some hold he was 21 and others hold that he was like 16, 17.
Mm.
Mm. Where is that, man? Like, if we say our youth are our future, then make them the leaders of our now, right? And support them.
Mm.
I think that is so critically important, inshallah ta'ala.
Barakallahu feekum. Yeah, I know it was. And I think also, look, in all, maybe just to create like a balance in that, if we look at the example of Ibn Abbas,
right,
he was very young, and then he set out to study. And one of his friends said to, you're sitting out to study, but we have all the elders and seniors. There's no real need in terms of you going out to study.
Mm.
So if I look at from Ibn Abbas' perspective, so the one is to create an enabling environment, but the other one is to take the initiative.
Right.
So as youth also, we need to take that initiative.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I can say we anymore, but, we need to take that initiative.
the beard is going to give you away then.
Yeah, no. So, inshallah, we need to.
May Allah, use the term, may Allah keep you young, man.
I mean, we can use the term very loosely and say, so, that balance, man, in terms of the elders creating that enabling environment.
Yes.
And the youth taking the initiative.
Right.
So when we look at Ibn Abbas, he didn't sit back on his laurels. Mm. He took the initiative.
Right.
And then what happened is, when the time actually came, and then he became what is known for today as the Prophet's Habrul Ummah, the erudite scholar, the exegete par excellence in terms of the Quran and so forth. Barakallahu feekum.
No, subhanAllah, I think it's a wonderful passion to have. And I've even seen that the reason I thought there was probably, I don't know how personal we can get here, but Malana, at that time, you were also the father of Ahmad, who commented, by the way, says, inspiration, may Allah preserve my father and all the scholars.
Oh, that scoundrel. Shukran.
So, So I was thinking that, you know, and I knew that as a new father, because I witnessed Malina's early days of fatherhood.
No,
I can safely say that the passion that Malina showed as a father, and like you were reading up on stuff and you were speaking to your sons in Arabic, and you know, you were always a very, you were an active father. You treated fatherhood seriously.
I mean, may Allah make us as you think of
us. No, subhanAllah, really, I always tell people that if there's a father that I aspire to be like from what I witness, obviously my own father, that goes without saying.
But may Allah grant you my place in Jannah.
I mean, Ya Rab. But then there are other unique qualities that I found with Malina's style of fatherhood. But be that as it may, how much did that play a role in wanting to ensure that there are facilities for youth, you know, in terms of Malina's own personal passion about it?
Hey, subhanAllah, you know, the children is al kulub yani bi asabi rahman, the hearts in the control of Allah.
Allah.
And Allah guides whomsoever He wishes.
Allah.
So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us.
Ameen. Ya.
And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of guidance.
Ameen.
And they say that subhanallah, we truly pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us a means of guiding others.
Ameen.
And a means of drawing people like closer to Allah as opposed to drawing them away.
Mm.
And we know in terms of our personal experience it may have been. And when other of our scholars were on this particular platform and they broached this subject, it would drive them to tears.
Mm.
Because it may have been that they said something unintentionally or even intentionally. Or they may have done something intentionally or unintentionally, which as opposed to drawing a person closer to Allah, actually, you know, like push the person away.
Mm.
So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of drawing people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen. Ameen.
And that we can serve as a means of guidance of others. Ameen. It's a prophetic, it's a dua in that particular regard.
Ameen.
I mean, to all of you du'as, I don't know what to answer. Allah reward you, inshallah, with khair and barakah.
Barakallahu feekum. It's because all around, I need to come to say, I don't know what to answer.
You must say something.
Yes, Allah.
Barakallahu feekum.
Okay. So Malina, how long has NAYO been in existence and where do you see it going?
SubhanAllah. So we've spoken about like the Tajdeed program.
Yes.
One program that and I think it also relates to youth, you know, since I think tonight's discussion is like, alhamdulillah, just organically moving around like
right.
youth as a
right.
focus. At the Awal Academy, which is our afternoon like supplementary school, we call it a supplementary school because we truly believe it does that supplementary progress. And alhamdulillah, we, you know, amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. We hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, something that we can maybe present within his court would be, you know, at least parts of the Awal Academy. It's a supplementary school. You know, kids go to school. Alhamdulillah, they develop physically, they develop cognitively and so forth. But there's certain supplementary things which are indispensable.
No.
I don't know how that works really, supplementary but indispensable. So supplementary but indispensable in our lifestyle.
Mm.
So, you know, like maybe going to school is necessary.
Right.
Absolutely. But you need to supplement it with certain things. And that's basically why the Awal Academy exists.
Right.
So what do you need to supplement that cognitive development with? Physical development, two very important things. And that is basically your iman and akhlaq.
No.
And if we take that from Quran, for example, if we in the month of Quran, we look at... you know, you were talking about an example in terms of fatherhood. I'm not an example at all, but alhamdulillah, Allah has given us examples in the Quran. So Allah talks about Luqman al-Hakim.
No.
And we, in the southernmost tip of Africa, Luqman was also from Africa.
Mm.
He was from the area which we currently know as Sudan.
Right.
And he had a son, and he would share certain advices with the son. Now, Luqman is al-Hakim, the wise. So he's sharing very, very pertinent, very wise advices, principles with his son. So he teaches his son two things. And the Awal Academy exists basically to, excuse me, facilitate for those two things. What are they? Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. That don't associate partners unto Allah.
Mm.
What does that talk about? It talks about that the important is the identity development of the youth, of the child.
Mm.
In other words, the child needs to develop iman. Very important. That will ensure that the child's success in this world as well as in the after. And the second aspect is that Luqman al-Hakim talks to his son. The Quran has its own unique way of presenting things. So then you say, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. It's unique because our scholars say that that is actually the advice which Luqman is giving to his son.
Mm.
But he's the father.
Right.
So, you know, it's almost like not becoming for him to tell his son, look here, you must be good to your father.
Oh,
because he's in the equation. Right. Like, you must be good to me.
Right.
Maybe it's not like on the highest levels of civility,
right.
You know, like suaveness, you know. So what happens is Allah changes the mode of speech.
Wow.
Then Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا.
But
ultimately, the example is coming from Luqman. He's saying, look here, oh my son, do two things. That your iman must be intact. And number two, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدِهِ إِحْسَانًا, be good to your parents. That actually resembles good character. And you know, when we were designing some of the syllabus, we were looking at, you know, the character part of the book.
Like, right.
So what is the first character trait that you teach the child? So we were brainstorming and we were source referencing and all of those things. And so we initially came down to the fact that, look here, a child that doesn't greet is considered not to have good character.
Right.
So the child needs to learn to greet properly first. But then when we looked at Luqman gave two advices. He said, look here, iman development and character development. And the example he used of character development was first,
be good to your parents.
So the first dua we put in was Rabbi ghfirli wa li walidayya amin.
Mm.
But that particular principle in terms of character is so amazing because what does it teach us actually, that principle? It teaches the child, we come into this world, we are not independent beings, we are interdependent.
Mm.
Part of a good character makeup is for you and I to realize that we are interdependent.
Right.
And when a child realizes that in terms of his interdependence, he's dependent on his parents and he's be able to good to his parents, that character trait will see him fit in very well in any given structure. Because he realizes it's not on my own, man. I'm part of a bigger whole.
Mm.
Be it as it may, at the Awal Academy, in terms of like, you know, tying it into the youth idea, the idea is that when kids go to school and everything, they need something more, of greater importance.
You're right.
And that is that the iman must be intact and the akhlaq must be intact. And in a contemporary way, in a nice way, in the madrasa we try to create this loving environment, alhamdulillah, which to a large degree I think, alhamdulillah, that we have achieved. And that is that in that environment they can be in a safe space and they can develop the iman and the akhlaq.
Yeah, I was there yesterday and Maulana's not telling me to say this, we didn't discuss this before the time, but I can say that what you are describing, Maulana, is what I found there.
Alhamdulillah.
Like,
alhamdulillah.
It felt like these kids were happy to be there. They were enjoying themselves there. And they were learning. Like, willingly. And they were willing to be part of after madrasa programs. They just looked like they were with it. And they knew their stuff, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. Very impressive. Alhamdulillah. So that's Maulana, basically
Maulana,
the idea.
Do you know this character, Maulana? This Zakaria Anika guy.
Oh, he's one of our teachers, man.
Oh, is it?
This is one of the... This is you talking about the youth, so this is one of the...
This guy seems like a character, man.
Amin, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We say Amin to his du'as, barakallah. May Allah protect Mawlana Zakaria.
Amin.
And keep him with us for a long time.
Amin, Ya Rabbal.
May Allah guide his heart and his mind.
Amin.
And may Allah cause us to benefit by him and through him, inshallah,
bi'idhnillah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, I can make so du'a from you, so, but okay.
No, these young brothers and ulama are very great inspiration for us.
My age and his age is almost the same.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah.
He's 30. Huh? I'm 33.
Oh, MashaAllah, tabarakallah.
Look here, Maulana, I wouldn't mind a cup of coffee here, Zakaria. So as soon as we're done, meet us outside my house, inshallah.
Barakallah, fikum.
Taib. Okay, so... So that's Nayo Youth Foundation. What's your vision for the future? Where do you see this going?
Look, I think an important part for us would be that the posterity and the longevity of the organizations, I think, is very important. And part of our vision is not for the organization to be, you know, tied into a person. Mm. Personalities, I think, are very important.
Right.
You were mentioning one as a career now, a moment ago, and so forth. So personalities are very important, you know, and they are integral to a process. But the process is also important. So what we're striving to do also in going forward is, you know, to make the organization sustainable.
Inshallah.
From all aspects. Mm. My brother once explained to me, he said that, you know, like a madrasa, for example, is like three cogs. You have like three cogs. So now, ideally, it must be 100% open, all of the, you know, all of those, I don't know what you call it, man, you know, those steps.
Mm.
You know, like you think like a pipe.
Right.
So you have this, these, I can picture it in my mind, but I'm struggling to like explain it. You have like a pipe running here, right?
Right.
And then attached to the pipe, you have three taps.
Okay.
And the tap has like a handle.
Right.
So now let's say that all the handles are open.
The valves.
The valves. Oh, subhanAllah, there you go. So the valves are all open. And now it's open 100%. So you're going to have optimum flow of water through. So likewise, the madrasa to operate like, you know, optimally.
Right.
What you basically need is you need all of the valves open.
Mm.
So he was talking about madrasa. He says, so one thing is basically the funding. One thing is the syllabus. And one thing is the teachers, for example. So if you want that 100% optimum output, all the valves need to be open optimally.
Right, right.
So in a sense, what we attempting to do, and alhamdulillah, we covering ground in that particular way, is like, you know, setting up the madrasa professionally in a way that it can be run by the individuals, but like sort of like process driven and proper process into place. So what can happen is this can become a legacy project.
Inshallah.
It can be passed on to posterity.
Mm.
So that, you know, tomorrow, if I'm not here, you're not here, whatever the case may be, and then inshallah, you know, it can go on.
Mm, I mean,
and for that, really, you know, subhanAllah, we require like a sincere niyyah, I think, initially. And then following up on that is basically just putting the proper processes into place.
Right.
So if you ask about the future of the, you know, like, it's the vehicle that we need to sort out properly so that, you know, somebody else can also jump in the driver's seat. And inshallah, like this vehicle, we hope to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it serves a means of us, you know, bringing, doing some good work, that it can, you know, continue to serve as that vehicle of positive change going forward. So it's a bit daunting and a bit challenging, but it's also, it's exciting at the same time also.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
And I don't know if this is a suitable thing to mention, but also like, alhamdulillah, we hoping to establish good relationship with the ulama, you know, like yourselves and so forth,
inshallah,
to see what, how this vehicle operates and so forth. And then, you know,
I'm excited
assist,
to be on board.
You know, and
I'm
assist
to be on board,
take it forward, inshallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. Allah bless khair and barakah.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
And accept it from us
like
through the barakah of Ramadan, you know.
Ya Rabb.
And the barakah of the Quran, may Allah Ta'ala assist. Walana, if parents out there are thinking, wow, these are programs that I would really love for my son, my daughter, etc., who should they speak to? How can they reach you? Can you give us some details, inshallah?
We have like you can reach me, inshallah, but what happens is like we were talking about the pros and so forth. There's an admin person manning the Owl Academy. Our academy is somewhat localized because it's in the book up, it's at the Owl Masjid, Walillah Alhamd. So just for logistic purposes, most of the, you know, alhamdulillah, we have like 64 kids coming every often Monday to Thursday. So, but they're primarily from the book up area because of the logistics. Tajdeed is more like sort of like central and so
Tajdeed
forth.
Tajdeed is the Hifz.
The Hifz program. We have... I would like to see the numbers grow there, to be honest with you. The small numbers are okay, but I think with more, with more numbers, a bit more of love, and, you know, somehow or the other, just like, you know, gets onto some sort of like a buzz and moves forward. I think they call it khiyas or something. So we just lack that, I think, a little bit there. So we can get a bit of that in there with your du'as, inshallah. So our Hif program is there, alhamdulillah, wonderful staff and so forth that we have there, alhamdulillah. Pray for them, pray for us, pray for the organization. There we have an admin person. You can contact me. I can put you in touch with them. Bismillah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Could people perhaps just access the details from the website?
Yes. There's that thing also, yeah. you have a website. You can go on there. And inshallah, you click all the right buttons and it will take you there, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
I've been on there before, and it's actually quite helpful in terms of just getting the basic contact details.
Yes.
I can contact you. Habib, you could have asked me a question and you could give the answer and we could have been finished 5 minutes before the time. You're supposed to be walking with me.
Where's the fun in that? It's like watching somebody explain what an email is to somebody who never knew what email is before. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's if people want to get involved in the madrasa. I know, like, organizations such as this, normally there are fees involved, but I think I'm going to jump in and answer the question that I'm going to ask as well. I can say that I know for the fact that even when there are fees, the madrasa is never able to charge for the actual needs of the madrasa. So the fees hardly ever cover the actual needs, the expenses of the salaries and all of those things. And a lot of parents don't know this. They think like, you know, after I paid my fees, then everything should be fine because, you know. So often these madaris, they require the assistance of the community. They require the public's assistance. And I believe that if you hear about something that could potentially be a very positive investment for the ummah, that you should jump for the opportunity, you know, because it's an opportunity that Allah is giving you. So how can people get involved in that way? What would you recommend for people to do in that sense, inshallah?
SubhanAllah, look, I mean, Ibn Abbas would say that you come and lament to the Prophet ﷺ that there are so much good works happening and I can't partake in all of them. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him a solution. He said, pray for them and in doing so you will share in the reward. So that's on the one aspect. At the very least, inshallah, we should be praying all of the time for all of our institutions, all of the time, even for our teachers. Absolutely. You know, it's like I was encouraging our ulama write about this, and you know, your teachers are fallible, they make mistakes, but what will also keep them upright and on the straight path would be when a student makes dua for the teacher.
Allah.
So and they say that the teacher has a right upon the student, that the student must make dua for the teacher, and some of ulama, they would basically be very forthright in terms of the preambles to the book and say that you must pray for me.
Is this your indirect way of telling me that I must make dua for you tonight?
Oh no, you have to. And everybody else who's listening as well, please keep us in your duas. So Ibn Abbas presented the one, and that is like, you know, make dua. And then we can help in different ways. Alhamdulillah, one or two, many of the brothers who have commented and engaging in the platform, they assist in their strength. One day I was with, so inshallah, some of us can teach, but other of us can, you know, assist in terms of fundraising. Others can assist in terms of processes, in terms of strategies, in terms of this, that, and the other. So inshallah, if we come together, then there's nothing that we can't achieve.
No.
So the dua on the one side, and whatever possible support, monetary or otherwise, that we can give towards our Islamic institutions, that I would say is always welcome.
Barakallahu feekum. And I know that we've spoken about this, the plans are in order, and we're working our way towards our own little Badr campaign for the Nao Youth Foundation, inshallah ta'ala. We will be having an event on the 17th of Ramadan. The Badr campaign is the Nao Youth Foundation's, you know, method and chosen methodology for this Ramadan in terms of raising funds and trying to assist each other and themselves, because it's primarily a fundraising among the family members, friends and supporters of the foundation. And it's about small monthly donations or pledges towards the foundation, inshallah ta'ala. And this will be opening up on the 17th of Ramadan, bi'idhnillah. I mean, it is technically open. If people want to get involved, they can already contact and contribute.
Absolutely. Inshallah, barakallahu feekum.
Now, and then inshallah, the nice part about it, and I really like this, is like, if I become a monthly donor and I donate like 50 rand, then they will write my name on the Badr list, and that's going to go in the copies of the Qur'ans of the Huffaz and the students at the Awal Academy. We'll incorporate it such that the teachers and students will make dua every week for the people on that list.
Yeah, inshallah.
You know, so that's, you can literally pay 50 rand and this is what you get in return from Allah, of course. That's the reward. But I think it's like a nice thing, a nice way to approach the Badr campaign, really, for the madrasa.
Yeah, no, mashallah, tabarakallah. That's your idea. I didn't know anything about it. Mona Rishad mentioned to me that it's a very good idea. This and now that you mention it for the second
it's
time,
all from Allah.
I think it sounds very, very nice. My mind doesn't work in that particular way. It sounds very, very nice. And, you know, subhanAllah.
When Mona says his mind doesn't work in that particular way, it means that's, you know, his mind works up here.
No, subhanAllah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But I do think it's a very beautiful thing, the idea that you came up with, Mona. I do think it's a beautiful thing because of the virtue of it.
I mean,
if you look at the khatam and so forth, like 4,000 angels say amen to the amen at the khatam.
Absolutely.
So in some way or the other, it's like an investment.
Yeah. You know, I can't really claim credit for the idea. What happened was after we spoke about it, Mona mentioned the Badr idea to me and another organization is also having something similar. So I was just thinking about Badr. And I keep thinking of Badr now having some experience in the Hajj, you know, the movements of Hajj, basically leading people and so on. And having been at Badr a few times, the first thing that I pictured in my mind was the plaque that stands outside Badr.
Ajib.
Because that's where you go. You basically go to the graves there, you go to the site where Badr happened, and that's one of the first things you see from the bus already. And I didn't know that that plaque exists. So when I went there the first time, here I come face to face with this plaque and the names of the Sahaba who were martyred on that day at Badr.
Ajib.
You know, I mean, if you can only imagine that honor, their names are on there. And I'm standing, I'm thinking like, wow. And I felt like I'm standing before these people.
Subhanallah.
I thought like, yo, if only my name could be up on there.
Ajib.
You know, I mean, imagine if our name could be included there. Ajib. And I was thinking about this. And then I thought, but hold on, we can make our own list. You know,
subhanAllah.
And it might not be a Badr list, but still the du'as of all those kids making du'a. And these are innocent souls, you know, and they're reading Quran the whole day. That's what they're occupied with. And they make du'a for you. I think I would, even if I don't have sort of big earnings, I would want to be part of that and donate even like a 10 rand a month just to put my name on the list.
Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah enable us and enable us to spend of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us.
Ameen.
And whatever we spend, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it as such that it weighs heavily on our scales on the day of judgment.
Ameen, ya Rab.
Imbibe it with, imbibe it with, what do you call it? Ikhlas.
Ameen.
Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen.
Taib, inshallah. Just one question from our viewers, Mawlana, Sister Zubaida Bardin wants to know, Mawlana, can this model be utilized at other institutions? She's talking about the approach, the methodology, the syllabus and so forth that Malam was talking about earlier.
Yes, no, that is also part of our idea, inshallah, particularly at the Awal Academy and Tajdeed in terms of the Hith program and so forth. There are different methodologies in terms of teaching Quran and also just in terms of teaching Iman and Akhlaq. We believe that what we have is a fairly good model.
Right.
And something that needs to be shared.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be shared and just replicated. Other times it can be shared and you can build upon it and so forth.
Right.
So from that particular aspect, absolutely.
I have to jump in here. I think you're being a bit modest about it, about this aspect, because I think it extends beyond that. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just a fresh pair of eyes, right? But the way I see it, I walk in there and the first thing I notice is I know many of the teachers. I know them personally. And they're all qualified ulama. At the afternoon madrasa, this for me was odd. Because we've got a culture of, how can I put this? The qualified people go for the high-end jobs. And then you unfortunately end up with many unqualified people taking the technically most important jobs, which is the teaching of our kids. Well, I understand. I walked in there and I see qualified ulama sitting and teaching youth, some of them, you know, having prominent positions in communities and so on, thinking, wow, that's fantastic. And then on top of that, so number one, the care and concern to put qualified ulama there, that was unique. And then number two, it is the research that's actually going on. Like Malam was telling me that you guys are compiling your own Aqidah book from scratch, like based on principles that you personally have developed along with others over the years and so on. And that research is being done. So for that type of investment to happen in society is normal. But for that type of investment to happen to the children for their afternoon madrasa, that's not normal. And that I think is unique. So that I think is important for the community to know, because the question was about, can this model be utilized at other institutions?
Mm.
Yes, but what I want to say is it's not a syllabus, you know, and it's not also just a name, and it's not also just a methodology, it's the whole package.
Mm.
What I see is that somebody needs to be as passionate about the youth and give them the best, you know, not like the leftovers type of thing, to give them the best of the best in terms of syllabus, in terms of teachers, in terms of program, and everything.
No.
So that I think is very important, and I think it's great that Molna has that, you know.
No, alhamdulillah, that is by the fadl and the grace of myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time also, like, particularly through the challenging times that we find ourselves in, it's also like an employment opportunity
for
qualified scholars, which is very dear and close to our hearts,
mashallah,
in that particular regard. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced us, and we are fortunate to have many of our qualified scholars teaching in the afternoon madrasa, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them abundantly and increase them and grant them in sincerity.
Ameen ya Rabb. Jazakumullah khairan. Okay, so people are starting to ask, and I'm very glad that they did. Sister Rushana van der Rode asks, Salam, how can I donate my 50, inshallah? You could reach out to Malina Muhammad, or myself, in fact, and you can email us. And as Malina said, that the details can be found on the NAO website. What's the address of the website, Malina? I can perhaps put it up on the screen.
It's basically www.nyf.co.za.
Okay. No. Sorry. .co.za. I'm going to put that up on the screen so that people can access that, inshallah ta'ala. And the details will be on there, as far as who you can contact, and even banking details and so on. So get yourself on that list. I think that list is pretty awesome. You can have your name as one of the 313 just by making a monthly contribution. In other words, a debit order for the NAO Youth Foundation. And think of it as an investment in our youth, an investment in our future. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Malina, are there any other remarks or advice that I said this word once, and somebody came to me and they politely told me, just to tip, there's no such thing as advices.
Okay.
It's advice.
Okay, mashallah. It's
okay. Yeah, and I said that quite often.
Oh.
You know, these advices. So it was good. I mean, it's a very good thing to learn.
Absolutely.
So anyway, is there any other advice that you'd like to share with us as we conclude in this program about whatever we spoke about this evening, or anything that sits in your heart that you'd like to share? Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Fadlun.
Alhamdulillah, sir. Okay, month of Ramadan now. I believe this evening is the 15th night.
No, and it's not Buba night tonight.
Tomorrow
night. You must first fast for 15 days.
Completely.
And then you can have Buba.
Khair.
It would be a bid'ah to have Buba before that.
No.
And so goes the custom.
Subhanallah. So yeah, we're in the 15th night, and you know, Salim Ramadan and wa salimna li Ramadan.
Ameen.
We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with Ramadan and keep Ramadan with us.
Ameen.
That we're able to benefit optimally within that swantana. And my request is that you please make dua for myself, make dua for the organization, make dua for the Muslims in general, for all our mothers and our fathers and our near and dear ones, that Allah SWT bless them in this month of Ramadan.
Ameen.
Whatever difficulty and they may be going through, that Allah SWT alleviate, and Allah SWT remove the difficulties and the hardships.
Ameen.
And Allah SWT take us by our hands and lead us into guidance.
Ameen.
So that is our humble request, where you make dua, inshallah. And you make dua for us, inshallah.
Inshallah. Barakallah. Well, let's make dua for me.
And I just want to also add, this is my last time I'm going to talk now. Because when
I don't know, it depends on what you say next.
No, I was told that, you know, this, what's the name? This particular program I'm not too familiar with. Mullah Irshad has spoken to me quite a few times about, you know, the importance of podcasts, and you know, so I'm very, I was thrilled to be here at this time of the night, and feeling like a VIP, very important person with all these gadgets around me and so forth. But I just wanted to say, you know, that you mustn't now listen to this podcast now and say, hey, what is this guy's catching on? You must just know that there's a good podcast, and listen to the ones that happened before, and the other ones going to happen after. And if you need to, you just, you know, like, maybe just erase this one here. So I don't want to know, to Manna, now we came into your studio now. Now what happened is I don't know how this thing works, is the ratings or the views or whatever the case may be. So inshallah, please support, you know, Munna in his endeavors and so forth. May Allah SWT accept all of the efforts. Jazakallah
khair. Barakallahu feek. Shukran for that, Munna. Jazakallah khair. Much appreciated. Yes, we could definitely use your assistance and help you at the Isnad Academy, and you can be part of it. And also, don't forget about the Nayo Youth Foundation. As Munna said, first and foremost, we're requesting du'as. And secondly, be in support of the madrasa in any way that you can. And thirdly, be part of the Badr campaign, get your name on the list, inshallah, and become a monthly donor towards the institution. Let's see, I didn't know that, but inshallah, tomorrow we will be there for Bova tomorrow. Is this your sister, Maya?
It's my sister-in-law.
Okay.
But so is Aisha Ka, so my brother Suleiman Ka.
Okay,
yeah, okay. Mashallah.
Right.
You're welcome.
Barakallahu feekum. Okay. So, Mala, Jazakallah khair, it was a pleasure and a privilege.
Oh,
I hope you enjoyed your time listening to yourself very clearly.
Yeah, no, alhamdulillah.
And I hope we can do this again soon, inshallah.
Bi-ibnillah.
Taqabbalallah minna aminkum wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.